Evening, I'm Michael Carey. Now we have the Republican candidates for governor of Alaska. There are five of them, so we need to get moving. Let's start with Gerald Hikas. Welcome, Mr. Hikas. You have 1 minute for an opening statement.
Thank you. I should be considered a constitutional Christian conservative. I was born in Alaska by trade. I'm a carpenter and a sheetrocker. I spent 10 years as a professional musician, was in the Alaska Air National Guard. And I also have an oil and gas plant that probably hasn't been heard of that would stabilize the transportation fuels and heating fuels in Alaska, and that would bring down their cost to about a dollar a gallon, that they would not be subject to market fluctuations and manipulations. And I also would start a second permanent fund and by using our oil resources and refining them in state. I do have a plan that would affect Alaska and every Alaskan. And you could go to my website at hikasontherock.com, and my plan is there, plus a lot of other subjects that I've written on. And I just appreciate this time this evening. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hikas. Now let's meet Sam Little.
My name is Sam Little, and I am a truck driver, own a small trucking company, have for many years, haul produce to Alaska now the last 16 years, but I bring on the table just a common sense, working man's attitude. I'm a strong believer that we should build one refinery, not a bunch, because that we can do. I also believe that Pebble Mine is going to destroy a lot of our fishing industries, and I am strictly against that. I cannot go with that. As far as the farming and industry, I was part of the Delta project in the early 80s. I just think it got killed by farmers, and not farmers, but by politicians. And I would like to see that come forward again, and I will give everything I got to make that happen. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Little. Now let's welcome Governor Parnell.
Thank you, Michael, and thank you, KAKM, for hosting this gubernatorial debate. I am Sean Parnell, and my father was a Fort Richardson soldier during statehood. He taught me, and he taught our family, that Alaska is a land of opportunity. It's a place where we can raise a family, where we can have a future. I'm your governor because I believe still in that promise of Alaska and in the people of Alaska. I'm a governor who wants to grow every sector of our economy, not just one sector. I'm a governor who wants to strengthen our families, and I've taken action to do each of those. I've worked to lower taxes on the oil industry to bring more jobs to Alaska. I've worked to lower taxes and create more tourism marketing dollars to bring more business to our small and mid-sized tour businesses. I worked to put mid-sized and small business contractors to work with a deferred maintenance plan. Bottom line, I'm in this for Alaskans. I'm in this to create educational opportunity and to create safer homes for our kids. Thank you.
Thank you, Governor. Now let's meet Ralph Samuels.
Hi, my name is Ralph Samuels, Republican candidate for governor, and thank you very much for having us today. I was born and raised in Alaska. I lived most of my life in rural Alaska, in Bristol Bay, in Nome, in Fairbanks, and even in Metlakatla down by Ketchikan. I've spent my career in the private sector, and I'm pretty much an unabashed free market believer. And what I believe is that the government should stop trying to do things for all people. We have a problem in Alaska. Our economy 10 years from now, we cannot sustain the government that we have, and I believe it is time for Alaskans to get together and start making some very difficult choices that we have in our economy as we move forward. Thank you very much for your time.
And finally, Bill Walker.
Good evening. I'm Bill Walker. I'm a lifelong Alaskan born in Fairbanks. My father was one of the Alaskan scouts in the Aleutians during World War II. He's 93, lives in the Pioneer Home in Palmer. My mother came to Alaska to work on the Alcan Highway. My background is building. I'm just not a professional politician. But I do have a concern about the future of the state. My wife and I, we've been married for 33 years. We have four children, two grandchildren, very worried about the future of the state based on the fact that the oil pipeline is running out of oil. I'm very concerned that knowing what I know and not do anything about it. Last year, Governor Heckel said to me, Bill, you run for governor, I'll support you in every way I can. He did that right up to 3 weeks before he passed away. I have a passion for the future of this state. I have a vision, and I have the background, the ability to lead this state and to lead us into a future that we will not have if we don't have a governor with my background.
Okay, now we go to the candidate question round. The candidates will each have an opportunity to ask one of their opponents a question. 30 seconds, it'll be a minute for an answer, a minute for a rebuttal, and a few seconds for a closing thought. Sam Little, we'll start with you. Your first question for one of your opponents.
I would like to address it to Bill Walker. Bill, I worked on the pipeline during the building of it. I spent several years there, and as you and a lot of the rest of us have. This open season, I studied up on a lot because I've always said I wasn't part of this pipeline thing. You guys had this all laid out. But they had an open season here just a few days ago, and they didn't even get enough bidders for anything. How many more open seasons are we going to have, and when is it going to come to an end, and when do we say we build a pipeline ourselves?
The open season, in my opinion, has failed. I have tried repeatedly to get information about the open season, the results, and each time the information has come back that they don't have any information they can provide to us. In my opinion, it's completely failed. It's time that we exit AGEA, that we take control of our future and step up and do what we should have done years ago and build the all-Alaska gas line and stop expecting somebody else is going to do that for us. It's time for us as Alaskans to take control of our future and not the boardrooms of Calgary, London, and Houston.
Your rebuttal, sir?
Well, I look at it like this. I buy equipment for a little trucking company. I've got two brand new trailers ordered right now. They cost me $140,000 for these two trailers. I paid 25% down. I financed them. Nobody had no problem. Why can't the state of Alaska take on 25% and the rest of the world will jump on board to help us finance that pipeline? We shouldn't do it all ourselves.
Mr. Walker.
No, you know, we don't need to do it all ourselves because the world markets are willing and anxious to have LNG out of Alaska like they are from Gorgon, Australia, Papua New Guinea, Ras Laffan, Sakhalin. The market is there. The gas is there. Permits are there. All we're missing is a governor who understands it, has the passion and the guts to step up and say, let's go to work.
Okay. Now we'll go to Governor Parnell. Your question for one of your opponents.
Thank you, Michael. I'm going to ask Sam a question. You know, I've met in about 10 debates now so far with many candidates. You've been excluded from some of them, and I'm sorry that some of the sponsors wouldn't allow you to participate. But I've not heard you kind of give us what your economic plan is for the growth of Alaska in the future. And if you give us a look at that.
I feel that I'm going to bring in a lot of smaller things first, like the farming. And I think because we're buying gasoline from Chavez, everybody knows it. Nobody wants to admit it, but that dollar a gallon you're paying more than Seattle right now is just freight getting it here. Another thing I've thought about is we have a Kenworth packed car plant sitting empty in Seattle. I'm not too sure that we couldn't deal with somebody to bring a manufacturer to Alaska because we should start thinking about a world market and building things here like the VSM. I don't know why the whole pipeline was built of VSM from Texas. Some of that VSM should have been made here. And my creation of this whole thing is to bring smaller things together. And the pipeline is going to have to take everybody. I don't know how to do that.
Governor Parnell.
Thank you, Sam. You know, one of the key elements of our economy moving forward is a gas line. You've heard some discussion of that here recently. Our administration is aggressively pursuing three options for a gas line: the North American option, the Valdez option, and the in-state or bullet line option. Now, the Valdez option and the North American option both were the subject of the open season. That open season is the first time in Alaska history that the private sector, the free market, has had a chance to bid its gas into a pipeline. Bottom line is they came out of that open season and said major shippers have bid significant volumes of gas into that pipeline. Now, the state's not resting there. We're also aggressively pursuing an in-state or bullet line. That line, we've completed the preliminary engineering and the cost estimates on that within the last year. The legislature and our administration worked diligently to assure that the project management team is moving forward to get us an in-state bullet line option as well. Thank you.
Okay. Mr. Little, final thoughts?
I believe that the pipeline should be built. I favor an all-Alaska line because, first of all, I don't know. I know that we're going to get charged $1 billion. I hear about the money that went out to help build it, but they haven't even settled their land claims in Canada yet. They can't offer us anything, just like me trying to sell you a car without a title. So why isn't this brought on board that they ought to say if we fail to do this, we're going to be charged like $1 billion?
Thank you, Mr. Little. We have to wrap it
okay.
up. Let's go to Ralph Samuels. It's your turn for a question.
And I have a question for Sean Parnell. No surprise, I'm sure. Sean, oil and gas are the backbone of the Alaskan economy. They comprise a third of our economy, and they comprise 90% of the state budget. The two biggest policy decisions in the past decade or more have been ACES and AGEA, your administration's policies on oil and gas development. These two policies were wholeheartedly supported by the far political left. So as people are deciding who to vote for, can you tell us on the issues of oil and gas, what is the difference between you and Senator Hollis French, another gubernatorial candidate?
I appreciate the opportunity, Ralph. Thank you. As a legislator in the 90s, I was both a state representative and a state senator. I supported exploration incentive credits to get North Slope oil moving. When oil was at $9 a barrel, I didn't reach for that tax lever. Instead, I reached to cut spending. When it came my turn to lead this state a year ago, I gathered together the 9 to 10 oil companies and said, what would drive you to invest more dollars in this state? I proposed 4 tax credits and benefits to do that. The legislature joined me on those with respect to some Cook Inlet tax credits. They did not join me on infill drilling credits for the North Slope, which the Journal of Commerce said had Parnell's tax credits for infill drilling been passed, hundreds of new jobs would have been created. So bottom line, I'm working to create a better investment climate and new jobs for Alaskans.
Mr. Samuels.
Thank you. When your tax plan, ACES, entered the legislature, it was about a 12 to 15% tax increase. And by the time it left the legislature, it was exponentially larger than that. If the first one going in was in the best interest of the state of Alaska, and you make your arguments on that, but 3 weeks later, it is exponentially higher than that, your administration still supported it going down the road for pure political purposes. And I can't understand how you can have it both ways. The first one and the second one, the bills had nothing to do with each other going into the process and coming out, but your administration signed it and you support it still, and a small tax credit nibbling around the edges doesn't undo what the administration has done to hurt the long-term investment strategy of the people that invest money in this state.
Final response, Governor?
You bet. I mean, I understand, Ralph, that you supported a corrupted PPT tax regime. I support moving forward from there. I support creating a tax regime that will spur even more investment into fields that are not being drilled right now. I'm going to continue to push for an infill drilling tax credit. I'm going to continue to ask companies what it is that will spur their investment here, but create jobs
Thank
for
you,
Alaskans.
Let's go to Bill Walker.
My question is for Sean Parnell. The state of Alaska has spent state money of about $126 million on an open season process. I have repeatedly asked for information available, asked it be made public, and repeatedly you have refused to do that. Yet members of your administration have gone out and made unsubstantiated statements of how wonderful it has been, yet when I ask for information from your office and from your administration, you provide nothing. How can you say that you have nothing and then yet you come out and say it's a successful open season?
Governor Parnell, please.
You bet. Across this nation, gas pipelines are built through Federal Energy Regulatory Commission open seasons, like we just had here, the TransCanada and Exxon open season. The pipeline company comes forward, says, here are the terms that we're willing to offer pipeline space to you. The companies that have gas leases bid those volumes of gas in and move forward. The state cannot turn over documents they do not have. It is a federally regulated process. The incentives that we created for AGEA protected the state's interest so that when those negotiations are complete, if it results in a pipeline, which I believe it very well could, the state's interest in offtakes for gas for Alaskans, low tariffs, and more exploration for gas in this state, those interests of Alaskans are protected.
Thank you, Governor Parnell. Now let's return to Bill Walker for a one-minute rebuttal.
My question was, why have you not made that public? I'm not comfortable with Exxon knowing what's happening in the open season. I'm not comfortable with TransCanada understanding what's available in the open season, and we as Alaskans do not. You know, the example you give, you didn't answer my question, but you don't explain why, when we have put state dollars into that, we are a shipper. We are one-eighth owner of our resource on the North Slope, actually of 100% of it, one-eighth after it leaves the unit. So why as we as Alaskans cannot know and have that information now rather than wait until sometime, I think TransCanada said sometime in around Christmas time they would make it available to us. I think that's wrong. You have the control, you have the authority to make it available, make it public. You choose not to. I think that's absolutely wrong. I think that's politics at its worst.
Governor Parnell, a final brief response.
The state cannot turn over what it does not have, and the state's interests are protected under AGEA. So when those negotiations are complete, the state's interests, Alaska's interests are protected.
Okay, now let's go to Gerald Hikas. Your question for one of your opponents.
For Mr. Walker. In February, ConocoPhillips and Anadarko were denied a permit to build a bridge to have access to NP4 by the Army Corps of Engineers. They would have spent close to $500 million to develop the field and would have put between 15 and 20,000 barrels a day in the Alaska pipeline. What would you have done as governor to see that that field was developed?
As governor, I would have gone to ConocoPhillips and said, we'll build that bridge. We'll make that a toll bridge. It's time for the state of Alaska to step up and be aggressive towards the federal government about our resource development. I would not take an answer, they will not allow a bridge to be built. I would step up, be aggressive. We have, you know, we have a toll road out of for Red Dog Mine that we built for that project. I would have stepped up and begun the process to build a bridge across the Kovo River so we can get over to NPRA and start drilling for oil and start putting oil in the pipeline.
Mr. Hikas, you have 1 minute.
Well, I see that the federal bureaucracy is running our state resources, and that was not the way the state constitution was set up and the way we were founded. The governor and the legislature were supposed to run the natural resources in the state, and over the years, succeeding years, they have built in the EPA and the Department of Energy, and they have put their rules and laws over states' rights, like Article 8, Section 1, which gives the governor and the legislature the right to manage our resources in here. What would you do, sir, to take it back?
What I would do to take it back, I'm so frustrated on the issue of ANWR, I'm going to tell you what I'd do on ANWR. I would take a drill rig to the fence line of ANWR on Point Thompson land that we own. I would say go down 2,000 feet, go in horizontally 6.5 miles, suck every bit of oil out of that ANWR, put it in the pipeline, come arrest me if that's what you want to do.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Walker. Now we come to the host questions section of the show, and the first question will be for Mr. Little. The rest of you will receive the same question. We've been talking about a gas line for something like 35 years, and it hasn't been built, and it's always just around the corner. What went wrong?
Very simple. You know, there's been about 10 elections, been one on building the gas line, and never has been one built yet. I think that the people of Alaska are going to have to team up with the governor and the lieutenant governor and the state senate. No, they're all going to have to get on the same thing and say, do we want a gas line or do we not want one? And the people have to be united with the governor. And if they all vote together, put it to a vote. If we want to build them, we're going to do it, period. And that's the way I would go at it.
Governor Parnell.
Boy, nothing's gone wrong in the sense that oil, gas, and water come up out of those wells. Oil's been the moneymaker. Oil production's declining. Gas is the new moneymaker. Bottom line is the state needs to aggressively pursue every option for gas. It needs to pursue the North American option, the Valdez option, as well as the in-state or bullet line option. We don't need politicians who make decisions for the private sector saying, nope, I'm sorry, you're spending $100 million or $200 million on this North American option or this Valdez option. Nope, can't do it, sorry. Instead, the state should write a check for the All-Alaska Gas Line. I think we need the private sector moving forward, and we need, as a government, we need to be aggressively pursuing and incentivize that work, which is exactly what we've done. Thank you.
Ralph Samuels.
Yeah, we mix up economics and politics. In the last 4 years, we've seen the politics have completely taken over. We've decided that the state government, through AGEA, it knows better on how the gas is going to go. We're going to spend money. We're going to demand this and that. And the other thing, instead of working cooperatively to try to get a gas pipeline built, over the past 30 years, the oil is worth far more than the gas. So until very recently, you couldn't have taken enough gas to build a major gas pipeline. But the time is now to start moving forward. And I think that AGEA was, quite frankly, it was the wrong road to go down. We've turned the keys to the castle over to TransCanada to do with it as they will. They have all the leverage on us. As long as the government keeps getting involved with ideas like that, we won't be able to move forward.
Okay. Bill Walker.
You know, I first became involved in the gas line about 30 years ago. The reason we don't have a gas line today is we've always assumed somebody else is going to build it. We act like there's somebody else's obligation to build it. That's wrong. That's where we've made the mistake. It's time for us to step up as Alaskans, build the line that was voted on in 2002 by 138,000 voters. 62% of Alaskans said, an all-Alaska line, do it. Alaska, do it ourselves. Financed not by, like Governor Parnell says, by the state of Alaska, financed by the world markets like every other energy project in the world.
Okay. Gerald Hikas.
I'm with Bill Walker on that. We just need to get it done. We have to get the funds, even if we have to ask the people of Alaska to build this line. We have the resources to do that with our own money. But my contention is that if the oil market skyrocks again and gas at the pumps go up to $7-$8 a gallon, which they could do if there's a tick in the economy with the Iran affair, then a gas pipeline five years down the road is not going to help everyday Alaskans. My Alaska Republican Oil and Gas would keep the transportation costs in Alaska low. That way, no matter what happens on the open markets, the gas pipeline can still go forward.
Okay, let's stick with oil and gas, and we'll start this time with Governor Parnell. Governor, would you be willing to invest in a bullet line if it took $10 billion of state money to get the bullet line built?
Well, look, I don't think we're there yet at this point. I mean, we've got private sector movement on a number of these options. Again, the state is aggressively pursuing three options for a gas line: the North American option, the Valdez option, and the in-stater bullet line option. The state is already spending money on an in-stater bullet line option. We have completed in the last year preliminary engineering and cost estimates. Those were delivered on June 30th. The legislature and my administration supported creation of a project team composed of those with expertise in financing as well as getting projects done to move forward by July of 2011 with the in-stater or bullet line, as it's known.
Okay, Ralph Samuels.
I think you're going to have to look at the devil's always going to be in the details, Michael. You're going to have to see how much of it is bonded, how much of it is cash, and how much of it can you afford to charge in the tariff to get the gas to the communities. As I've traveled around the state, energy is the issue. And getting energy to the communities that we can get it to is the first priority. And whether it be a bullet line, if you charge a full-blown tariff to ship the gas to through Fairbanks and down to South Central Alaska, you know, you might have to put some cash or some bonds in there where the state would put up some of the cash. But at the end of the day, we're a deer in the headlights right now, and we're waiting and we're waiting and we're waiting. And the communities up in Fairbanks, they have a serious problem with the day-to-day trying to pay their bills. And what Alaska needs to do is move forward. And I don't mind spending a little bit of cash and call it an investment. Same as building the Parks Highway. Have an investment. Whether $10 billion is a real number or not, I don't know. But you can do various mechanisms, but we have to get energy to the communities of Alaska in order for Alaskans to survive over the long run.
Bill Walker.
No, I would not support a $10 billion investment in a bullet line. You know, that's about double what the investment would be by the state of Alaska on a large line that brings cheap energy to all Alaskans. I refer to the bullet line. It doesn't solve a single problem for the state. It doubles the cost of energy, the recent study showed. It will keep the homes warm during the foreclosure process. It doesn't put another barrel of oil in the oil pipeline. While we're over in the weeds on a small volume bullet line, the market, the premium Asian market is being developed by Gorgon Australia, Papua New Guinea, Ras Laffan, Gutter Gas 4, all being developed by the same producers on the North Slope. We must not take our eye off the opportunity we have in the premium Asian market and spend our time and money over in a small volume bullet line that doubles the cost of energy to wherever it brings gas to.
Okay, Mr. Hykus.
I believe, like Bill Walker does, I believe we should build the last. I believe that if it takes the state financing it or paying a part of the financing, I believe that we need to include outside investment in it. But I believe that we should build an in-state gas line, and I believe it should be a pipe that runs from Prudhoe Bay to Valdez, and I believe it should be built to last and be able to accomplish the volumes that Alaska can produce.
Okay, and Mr. Little.
Well, the open season, it's only got 6-8 more months and it's over, right? If the open season fails, then I'm not saying I wouldn't be in favor of a bullet line. But as long as they're got an open season going, I think you're kind of shooting yourself in the foot to try to say you're going to build a bullet line. And if the open season does fail and the bullet line fails, I feel that we should take it right out of Prudhoe Bay and put her in ships and take her south like everybody else does around the world. We got 4-month window, and that's what I would do.
Okay, this time we're going to start with Mr. Walker. The New York Times just printed a story with a nice graphic that shows that the state of Alaska and Alaskans receive more federal stimulus money than any other citizens in the United States. Yet all we hear around here is criticism of the stimulus program that's wasteful, not doing its job, etc. Are we hypocrites for taking the money and denouncing the federal government?
You know, Michael, one of the things I've said is that, you know, we have to decide what we want to be as a state. You know, every dollar from the federal government we receive comes with it. It used to be strings, now it's chains that come with it, and I'm concerned about that. You know, a good example is what has happened in the Parnell administration is that they received federal dollars for the design of our ferry system replacement ships for Alaska. Because of that, we can't use our local bidder preference statutes, and there's a possibility that the Ketchikan Shipyard will not build those ships. there's a possibility those ships will be built in the state of Washington or the state of California. We need to be careful about taking state dollars, because with them come strings, or I should say chains that come with them. You know, we need to decide what we want to be. If we want to be independent from the federal government, we need to be careful about the money that we receive from them, and be aware of what the cost of that money is.
Mr. Hikas.
Federal dollars always come with chains. I'm not into chains. Alaska itself has the resources to live without the federal government or $1 of federal money. We have massive resources in oil, gas, coal. We haven't even touched on coal industry. We have 5,000, we have 5 trillion metric tons of coal up here, and we haven't even touched that industry. And we really don't need the federal government. Alaska can subsist on its own, and that's what I believe we should do. And I believe this governor should take us away from the federal dollars and get back to being what we were meant to be in our state constitution.
Mr. Little.
Well, the federal dollars, as long as you're part of the United States, you're not going to do away with them. I mean, that's part of the system. Only thing I think that it'd be nice for the governor to have a little more control in the legislature of where them federal dollars are used. Like, they build a $50 million scale in Tok, Alaska for 100 trucks a month. Ridiculous. Why don't they build that? Like, I would take it, the first thing I'd do, I'd build that bridge to somewhere instead of the bridge to nowhere. Everybody talked about 50 people to an airport. There's 140,000 people on that airport every year. They said there's a community of 50 people over there. And if they're going to build a new ferry system and to build ferries over there, they're out of room in Ketchikan, so they need to build over across, and they need the bridge to do it.
Okay, Governor Parnell.
Thank you. The only one in this room leading in this regard is me. I'm serving you, Alaskans, by standing up to the federal government. When the national government says they want to impose national Common Core education standards on our local districts, and when the Secretary of Education says that he wants to make those into international standards that our local school districts have to abide by, I say no thank you. I declined to participate on Alaska's behalf in the Common Core standards effort, the national academic standards effort, because I do not want our standards dictated by any national or international body. Bill's absolutely wrong when it comes to the ferry. I've taken steps to decline the federal money and move forward with state money. Bottom line, I'm leading by example. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Governor Parnell. Let's turn to another important issue. Mr. Samuels, did I miss you?
You only get 1 minute anyway here, Michael. Yeah. the question was about the federal government. At statehood, you know, there's a lot of people in the mid-50s that did not want Alaska to become a state. And they, what they said was, it's too big, the population is too small, you'll become a giant welfare state on day one. Oil was discovered in Cook Inlet, we've got the votes, we became a state, and the deal was, you let us develop our natural resources and we'll contribute to the country. And since then, we've seen the federal government, since I was a child, not let us develop ANWR. You look at their, in the OCS, they killed the timber industry single-handedly. So as far as pushing back in the federal government, we need to push back on No Child Left Behind, on the EPA, on the Obamacare, on all of it right there. We're perfectly capable in Alaska of educating our children, of developing our natural resources, and having arguments on healthcare around the table all we want to, but we're capable of doing it without a lot of help from the federal government.
Okay, we have time for one more question from me, and this time each of you will have 90 seconds, and we're going to start with Mr. Hikas this time, and we will get everyone in. Mr. Hikas, there's been quite a bit of criticism of the Obama health care program, which was passed by the Congress of the United States. At the same time, there's a general recognition among people in Alaska that health care, if it's not in a crisis, is approaching it. What can the state of Alaska do to ensure better and perhaps less expensive health care for its citizens? You have a minute and a half, sir.
To understand Obamacare, you have to take a walk through history to find out the particulars of what happens when you go to a government-run health care system. And now I have done that on my website, and I've addressed a lot of these issues, Mike. You can go to my website and look up Hikas on health care. It's about a 10 or 15 minute read. I do a prophetical and a historical takeoff on what's going to happen and how it's developed through time. Alaska just needs a better way to encourage our own state resources to be involved in that, bringing down the cost of the health care in Alaska by lowering the cost of what it takes to maintain and run the hospitals and the systems, the doctors and nurses, make Alaska a more affordable place to live, a more attractive place to live for those doctors and those physicians that we need from outside to come up here and stay here. I call them stickers. We need to get them up here somehow, and then once in a while a doctor or two will stick, and then we just need to develop our own healthcare system by a lot of it is taking the lawyers out of the equation and setting a system where they cannot sue at every turn for everything that goes wrong.
Mr. Little.
I don't agree with the healthcare situation when 73% of the country didn't want it and they forced it down them anyway. But we're stuck with it for the moment, but I think the people of Alaska and all over the country should think about changing the leadership at the top to start with if they want to get anything done. But, you know, workman's comp is a big thing. It's a high cost for any employer. And I've thought about this a lot because next year, if I'm still in business, I'm going to get hit with this health care on top of my workman's comp. And I don't see how a guy can pay it. I don't know where it's going to come from. I would like to talk to the legislator about it and all the people of Alaska, but I'm thinking about tying workman's comp and health care together. We're already paying 21%. If we had to add another couple percent, you can't add no 7 or 8 percent to it. It won't work. And working people all know that we got to do something, but you're going to kill a lot of small business if you tie health care on top of workman's comp.
Okay. Governor Parnell, let's get back to what the state of Alaska can do. Mm.
Well,
not what somebody else did wrong.
Well, but to do that, you've got to look at it in context. 2 days ago, I spoke with a family practitioner who indicated that family practitioners are leaving the practice because of the national health care legislation. I stood up for Alaska and joined the Florida lawsuit against the individual mandate, saying that you cannot limit or diminish our freedom as a people by declaring that you've got to go buy federal health insurance or pay a penalty if you don't. On the state side, what can we do to increase access to healthcare and increase affordability of healthcare? A couple things. One, we can increase opportunity for pooling. The Forica Group has done a great job here in the state in terms of interstate pooling. But we can now step across state lines. I think that's a positive benefit that we can move forward on. Electronic health records, another key component. 2 years ago, when that legislation was stuck in the Senate Finance Committee, I negotiated a compromise to get that moving. That enables patients, us Alaskans, to electronically have our records electronically transmitted in a safe and secure environment once the system is set up. Bottom line, we need to make every effort, take every opportunity we can to improve access and reduce costs of healthcare.
Ralph Samuels, a minute and a half, please.
Thank you. You can look at expanding portability. You can look at expanding the pooling for either nonprofits or small businesses. Also, training more doctors. You can expand the WAMI program so you get more doctors that are willing to come to Alaska, that are Alaskans, that are educated so they know what they're getting into, because Alaska's not for everybody. But if you get Alaskans that are trained, I think a UAA program for nursing training does a really good job. And you can expand on those things as well. So there's a lot of things as governor that you can do to try to expand on the availability of who you can go to and allow more choice into the marketplace.
Okay. Mr. Walker.
We simply put, we need more doctors in Alaska. We need to incentivize more doctors to come to Alaska. Alaska has the biggest shortage of doctors of any state in the union. We need to create an opportunity for them to come back. You know, we almost have a medical school in Alaska. Well, we pay for one anyway, a good share of it. We pay for several years of medical training of people going from Alaska to the University of Washington. At some point, if our economy turns around, we're able to grow our economy, it would be nice to have a medical school in Alaska. But in the meantime, those we pay to go to University of Washington for medical school, I'd like to see them come back to Alaska as part of receiving those funds, that they come back to Alaska as part of that. I'd like to see us do similar to what the military has done, is what they incentivize people to come into the military, and doing that, they forgive a portion of their loans, or assume a portion of their loans by doing that. We need to bring more physicians to Alaska. That will bring down the cost of medical care in Alaska.
Okay, I have time for one more host question. I realize all of you gentlemen are running for an executive position, but if you had an opportunity to vote, if you had an opportunity to cast a vote, yes or no against development of the Pebble Mine how would you vote? And we'll start with Mr. Hikas.
Pebble Mine is a point of contention, but I would vote yes to develop Pebble Mine.
And tell us why.
We just can't cut. Everything has been put on maybes in hold, and there's been a lot of studies done. There can be a consistent development in the best interest of the mining industries and the best interest of Alaska, which would bring in more resources. And economic growth in the state is essential besides gas and oil and coal. So that would be just one market. And I would do, as governor, I would do a complete study of it. But yes, I'm in favor of developing Pebble Mine.
Sam Little.
I'm absolutely against it.
Tell us why.
I'll tell you why. We got 25,000 people in Alaska involved in the fishing industry, counting, selling bait, you name it. To let 1 ounce of toxic water go in our waters, the world headlines will be Alaska's face is tarnished. And I will not allow that. I've been involved with fishing for many years. I haul fish out of the state every year for several years. I know tons of fishermen. And I will not. It's not fair to the natives. They don't want it. And I will go with the popular vote of the people because I have never been on top. I flew over the mine, but I've never been on the mine site. But I'll tell you what. Anything that'll toxic that much land, I cannot give my stamp to it. I never will.
Thank you, Mr. Little. Governor Parnell.
I cannot take off my executive hat when it comes to this kind of an issue, because to say yes or no means that the science is already in, the applications are in.
Can you come close to yes or no?
The applications are in. As governor, my job is to ensure that the permitting process works, that every company has an opportunity to put forth a project and know the rules of the road. It also means that every fisherman in this state has the opportunity to have public input in that process where science speaks and the public speaks. So the answer is, I, as governor, will ensure that the permitting process works.
Mr. Samuels.
I think if you interrupt the process as it moves forward, without even seeing the first permit applied for, you end up with a big problem on any project, whether it be a discharge project for a fish plant or for a road somewhere. So if you have the Pebble Mine project moves forward, if it makes it to the process, that's fine. If it doesn't make it to the process, that's fine. As governor, I won't ever trade the non-renewable resource for the renewable resource. I won't make that trade. But if we allow the politics to take over and the fancy ads on both sides of this thing to interrupt the process moving forward, it will be target practice in Alaska for all projects. So I'm in favor of the process moving forward, and if they make it, they make it, and if they don't make it, they don't make it.
Mr. Walker.
You know, I'm an unabashed resource development person. That's my background. That's my passion is for this state. We're a resource state. Pebble is a project that has caused me to sort of take a deep breath and make sure that the process that we have in place is the appropriate process, that the process matches the magnitude of the mine. I want to make sure we go through that process. I don't want to send the message to the rest of the world that come to Alaska, and if before you even submit the application, we're going to make a decision on whether you can develop or not. And let me just be absolutely clear. If it's a situation that we're going to risk fish against a non-renewable resource, I'm going to go with fish every time. But I need to be convinced of that. Convinced about not necessarily on media presentation, but based upon hard science and an application that's thoroughly vetted.
Okay. We've come to the closing statements, and we're going to stay with you, Mr. Walker, so you have 1 minute for a closing statement, please.
Thank you. You know, thank you for this opportunity tonight. You know, I'm running for governor because I am concerned about the future. I'm absolutely worried we don't have the kind of leadership available that is going to turn this state into what it needed to be. You know, we've heard lip service out of the Parnell administration about we have all bases covered on a gas line. We are trapped in studies after studies. I am so tired of the studies. We have permits available for an all-Alaska gas line. We have an export license available. We have a right-of-way. You know, I follow in the footsteps of Governor Hammond's suggestion to Governor Egan and Governor Hickel for the all-Alaska line. I look at what the late Senator Stevens, talked about last March, saying the world has changed. We need to take it to the world market. Let's take it to Tidewater. Stop studying. Stop waiting for somebody else. Let's go to work. Put our people to work. Get the job done. We need to have someone with my background, my passion, and I'm a fighter, and I will fight, and I'll fight, and I'll fight for the future of this state, and I will not take no for an answer as we have for so long.
Let's go to Ralph Samuels.
Thank you very much. I'm Ralph Samuels, Republican candidate for governor, and I'm running for governor because as I look down the road a decade, instead of governing for right now, as I look down the road for a decade, I think that we are on the road on several fronts. We have a budget which we simply cannot sustain. We go up at 10% every year. The production of oil, which pays for the entire budget, all the troopers, all the roads, all the docks, the harbors, they pay for everything. The oil that comes out of the ground at Prudhoe Bay declines by 5% a year. We are in an unsustainable situation. Nobody likes to talk about this. As governor, I can make you one promise. We will get back on a pro-business tack, and we will get investment in this state, private sector investment. The economy of Alaska cannot be driven simply by more and more and more state spending. We have to have people that are willing to invest in this state to get private sector, real jobs, and have a strong economy moving forward. And I appreciate your vote on Tuesday.
Governor Parnell.
Thank you, Michael. It really is about action, not words. It's about growing our economy and strengthening our families. I am the only candidate here tonight who is actually doing those things. When it comes to growing the economy, creating an investment climate here by reducing taxes, by creating tax incentives, by putting deferred maintenance money on the streets, by working to build roads to resources. When it comes to our kids, Sandy and I have raised two girls, 18 and 16. We know what it's like to do homework with them at night and to dream about their future. Alaska is a place where we can grasp a future. If we give our kids an education system that incentivizes learning by having them earn, giving them the ability to earn tuition scholarships for in-state universities and job training programs, we will be farther ahead. If we implement the comprehensive approach to domestic violence and sexual assault that I have, whether it's prevention, holding perpetrators more accountable for their actions, and providing more shelter services, we will be a far safer and better society for it. I appreciate your vote on Tuesday, August 24th. Thank you.
Thank you. Sam Little.
Well, thank you very much for letting me be here tonight. Let a truck driver be amongst a lot of very professional people. And the governor, thank you for being here with us tonight. It's a great thing to be a governor of Alaska. I've got to meet a couple through the years, and my philosophy is bring it back together. Like, longevity was taken away, and it's a small peanuts compared to some of the big bucks that were thrown out here and thrown out there. Good part, it will put cash flow back in our economy. I believe that we need to dig into our villages, and like you say, I want to start governor's village partners so we have representation in every village. Just they need a coordinator to deal with the governor. Some villagers have not been touched for a long time. And people can say what they want to after election, some things just go out the window. But that's the kind of governor I'll be. Blue jeans, I might call you up at 11 o'clock at night and say, get the coffee pot and I got something to talk about. Get the cookies out. I want to talk at your house. If I'm the governor, every household in this state belongs to me. And if I want to call you up at 11 o'clock at night or midnight, I'll come and be prepared. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Little. And finally, Gerald Hikas.
Yes, I want to thank you for this evening and the time we spent together. There's a lot of good plans here that I've seen, but I have the only one called the Alaska Republican Oil and Gas Plan that will substantially lower the cost of fuel transportation in Alaska, and that can do it in a short time of 2 years while the pipeline is being built. It will bring our costs down of fuel and bring our fuel to the markets in the Alaska communities all over the state to $1 a gallon. It will create a second permanent fund. It will ensure that we have a stable fuel market that is not controlled by market situations or the manipulations and control of other entities. And we can do this. I've studied on it. I will bring that come to pass. It's called the Alaska Republic Oil and Gas Cooperative. You can see it on my website at hikusontherock.com. I want to thank you for this time together that we spent, and thank Mike and KAKM and Channel 7 and all the other contestants for governor. And you, governor, I appreciate what you did when you took care of Denali Kid Care, and you took care of that. That comes from my heart, that you stopped that of funding for abortion. And I agree with you, and I appreciate that. And thank you all, Alaska, for this time.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hikas, and thanks to all the candidates. This concludes running for this primary election season.